Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
He said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. We can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And welcome on in, welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Busy Hub Day installment of the show here today. Former Northern State University men's basketball hooper, former NDSU hooper, and current member of the Summer League roster for the San Antonio Spurs, Jackson Mone. He'll be joining us here a quarter past the hour as the Summer League season gets wrapped up here this last week. Plus, we'll talk with the great Nora Groft, head coach of the Northwestern Volleyball Squad, as we get closer and closer and closer to volleyball season here in northeastern South Dakota on the high school and, well, for college season as well, for that matter as well, in the not-too-distant future. David Tewksbury along for the ride with the Cobra. Cobes, how's your Wednesday morning going so far?
Doing all right. Doing okay. Weather isn't great, but we're doing all right here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I will say, the weather is indeed not great, but there's something to be said about the Aberdeen bubble. The Aberdeen bubble is holding strong once again. We had some wind. We had some rain. Lasted for, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, give or take, but overall, it's been okay here. That severe thunderstorm warning has officially eclipsed. That was back in right around 9:15, so that's come and gone. But the rest of the area definitely dealing with some not so nice forecast weather anyway. Miller, the Redfield area down south. You know, if need be, we'll break in with, you know, updates and what have you. But yeah, the further south you go, the not so nicer it gets. Clark. Not yep. Very nice, but yeah, for us here in Aberdeen, it's been okay, not terrible.
I like that, the Aberdeen bubble, because it looked like outside it wasn't going to be great and kind of came and gone, if you will, pretty fast. But you mentioned Miller. I mean, they were looking at, what, 80-mile-an-hour wind gusts at times. Yeah. So, I mean, it was pretty bad around us, but around here in Aberdeen, it didn't look too bad, but yeah. Pretty wild morning, that's for sure.
And actually, this just came out here within the last 8 minutes for Sully, Hyde, Falk, and Potter, as well as Spink counties. The severe thunderstorm warning for Northern Hand, Northeastern Sully, Hyde, Falk, Eastern Potter, and Spink counties will expire at 10 a.m., so 4 minutes ago, which is good news. Storms which prompted the warning in the first place have weakened below severe limits and no longer pose the immediate threat to life or property. Therefore, the warning will still be allowed to expire there, but still gusty winds possible and thunderstorms and what have you. So it's not to say we're quote unquote out of the woods, because we're not, but certainly a situation where they're not as strong as they were perhaps anticipated to be. But again, if need be, we got to break in with severe weather coverage. We've got a lot of great sponsors helping us out with that as well. Kurtz Motorsports, Dakota Doors, EXP Realty and Tiffany Paul, and All Over Roofing. But yeah, that Aberdeen bubble, for one reason or another, has been A-OK for us for the most part here this morning. He is Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Let's toss this Spalding skyward, shall we, as we kick off this Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub. And We begin with a sort of sports story. At least it has some sports ties to it. My soon-to-be sister-in-law sent a group text message yesterday that Ozzy Osbourne passing away at the age of 76. Of course, Crazy Train is probably one of the all-time great rock songs out there for sure. And people are tuning in saying, Tukes, this has absolutely nothing to do with sports. How does Ozzy Osbourne passing away have anything to do with sports? Well, there's this beautiful thing called the seventh inning stretch, Matthew. Mm-hmm. And at Wrigley Field, celebrities, rock artists, actors, other sports players, just dignitaries, they sing the seventh inning stretch, and Ozzy sang the seventh inning stretch one year at Wrigley Field. Have you ever seen this?
I don't think I have, no.
If you've never heard of it before, you need to see it and view it, because it is a thing of horror or beauty. You be the judge.
All right, Chicago. I want to hear a real crazy crowd start singing with me.
He's there with his wife, Sharon, of course.
Are you ready? I can't hear you. Are you ready?
The body shake. Body movement.
1, 2, 3. Let's go out to the border. Let's go out to the river. Take me in.
Look at the guy right there.
Steve Stone. Gary Wood. What the hell?
1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Now, far be it from me, I'm not poking fun, but come on, man.
That's rough.
That's pretty rough. I mean, not 48 hours after this guy has passed away. Again, I'm not dancing on his grave, but yeah, you look at Steve Stone's face there, who was in the booth there. I think he was with Chip Carey at the time. They show Carrie Wood's face there from the dugout, and they're like, what the hell was that? So, good night, sweet prince. He passes away at age 76. Great rock artist, but not a very good singer of the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah, but maybe one too many there for that one, for sure. But yeah. Rock legend. He started with, I didn't know he was with Black Sabbath longest. I thought it, you know, people out there are like, hey, are you kidding me with that? But I did some research on it this morning. I didn't realize he was a part of, like, the Black Sabbath, that band. And then he obviously went on to have a great solo career. I'm a big fan of Mama, I'm Coming Home.
Sure.
Too. Oh, yeah. That's a classic song. So, yeah, rip to Ozzy Osbourne, 76 years old, one of the best rock artists of all time.
No question about it. Also, on the local side of things, Northern State University, they are in the news. They've got a new leading-edge ticketing platform. We'll probably reach out to Nate Davis here at some point in time to get him on the program to talk about this. There's a new partnership this year for all ticketed Wolves home events, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this correctly, Viva New. NSU Athletics immediately will begin the rollout of season ticket renewals, new season ticket purchases, and single-game ticket sales with full details that can be outlined on our website, hubcityradio.com, as well as the NSU Wolves.com website there as well. So just something to keep an eye out for as we get closer and closer to quote-unquote sports season. If you're trying to go to the Athletic and Recreation Fields or Dakota Bank Stadium, Barnett Center, what have you, just a little FYI there. Also, getting closer and closer to football season, to be sure, and word came out yesterday, or actually maybe even earlier on this morning, that head coach Zach Taylor of the Cincinnati Bengals says Joe Burrow is going to play a lot more this preseason. They want to avoid the slow start they've had in the last couple years, and it's a good point. I heard this stat on the radio a couple weeks ago, and I could not believe it for the life of me. I mean, I got it, the fact that they've always kind of struggled the first 2 weeks. They've started off 0-2 a couple times, but the Bengals are 1-11 under Joe Burrow at quarterback the first 2 weeks of the season since he's been there. 1-11. It's crazy.
I saw that stat too, and I've said it on this show. I don't know what they do in the offseason that they're allergic to winning the first two games of the season, but it really dug them in last season. If they would have beaten New England week one, they would have been in the playoffs. They almost snuck in at the end of the year because they got hot. But, yeah, they got to be better than 0-2 this year just with the offensive weapons they got. They re-signed Ja'Marr Chase. They re-signed T. Higgins do an extension. You have Burrow there. I still have a lot of question marks about that defense. I'll tell you that right now. Trey Hendrickson, he's probably not going to report to camp. He might sit out if he doesn't get paid. I mean, it's he led the league in sacks with 18 and a half sacks last year, and they were one of the worst defenses in all of National Football League. So he might not even play because of a contract dispute and extension. So they're going to have to score another 35 points a game like they did last year to be competitive. But I don't get it. When you're that talented, you got to be better than 0-2. Now, granted, they did play the Chiefs week 2 last year. It all depends on the schedule. And they got screwed in that game, if you remember, with the pass interference. But we'll have to be – we'll have to wait and see. I'm not the biggest Zach Taylor guy. Mm-hmm. I think there's better coaches out there. And this is kind of a make-or-break year for the Bengals. I'm just tired of hearing about how they're the only team, or Joe Burrow is the only team to beat Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that was 2021. I mean, we're getting moving forward. Yes, it's great. You didn't win the Super Bowl. But everybody likes to talk about that when they're talking about Joe Burrow. They're very critical about my Lamar Jackson to the Ravens. They're very critical about Josh Allen. It's like, yes, he beat Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game, but okay, you didn't win the Super Bowl, so who cares? That's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, you can beat him in Week 7 or beat him in Week 13 or something like that, which is great, but it really comes down to matter the most in January. And to your point, it's been a couple of years since they've been playing in January.
So that was going to be my point. So why does everybody just continue to bring that up? I don't understand it. The game was 4 years ago in the AFC Championship game. Okay, we get it. Fine, he's the only guy to beat him. Whatever. But everybody likes to bring that up now. You'll hear people talk about it in the national media today. Up, oh, Joe Burrow beat Mahomes. Jackson and Allen, they never did it. So it just bothers me when I hear that.
Matt,
stuff.
Guess what, man? There's people in Chicago that are still talking about the 1985 Bears. I'm not even kidding. Like, yeah. Bears fans cling to that big time. I come from Chicagoland. They're still talking about 1985 and Jim McMahon and Willie Gault and Refrigerator Perry and Walter Payton. Like, they're still talking about Ditka. It's 1985. It's not even the century.
Bothers me, man.
Something to cling to, for sure. And finally, before we bring in head coach, or maybe he'll be a head coach, who knows, his teammate is now going to be a head coach. More details about that perhaps at another later date. I think we even talked about it yesterday, talked about Josh Dilling. Maybe that was an off-the-air conversation, but more NFL players are retiring. Talked about Philip Rivers yesterday, although he hasn't played in 4 years, same year, ironically enough, that the Bengals were very, very solid and made a trip to the playoffs there. I think that was actually 2020, technically, the 21 playoff year. But you have a couple of great ones that are hanging up the laces. You've got Jimmy Graham, great tight end there for a lot of years with the Saints, played for the Seahawks. He kind of jumped around, I think, Packers and Bears later on in his career when the gas tank was almost empty. So he's retiring, as well as the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, also going to be retiring as well. And you look at these guys and you're like, yeah, Tyrann Mathieu, I thought he's kind of a younger guy, still probably early 30s. No, he's getting up there. So he's been in the league for a decade. So a lot of these greats are saying that's it for them.
Yeah, and Mathieu really had a nice end to his career, I thought, too, mm-hmm. with New Orleans. Jimmy Graham was dominant, I think, towards the beginning, and then he went to Seattle. He had a pretty good – did he have a couple good years there in Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, finished strong with Green Bay and Chicago. So some really good players. I wouldn't say, like, all-time greats, but definitely some really solid players. And if you're fans of the Saints, for sure, Jimmy Graham and Tyrann Mathieu, if you grew up in that time, they're probably some of your favorite players.
Jimmy Graham, 38 years old. The Honey Badger, only 33. I thought he had a lot more gas left in the tank, but maybe he says he's made his money, he's played a decade, and sees the writing on the wall, and he's maybe lost a step, so he's done.
Did you see your boy Jamal Adams sign with the Raiders?
Good luck with that. If you can't make it on the field with the Tennessee Titans last year, you might be washed. But Pete Carroll loves a good redemption story, so we'll see. I mean, if you can't hack it in Vegas, he's done.
Yeah, well, this we'll is see. His last chance.
Definitely last chance. You feels like that way. Coming up next on the show, Jackson Mooney. He's trying to break his way into the league. He'll be joining us on the phone line next on Fox Sports Aberdeen. The Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub. We call it a hub day around these parts on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Follow us on X there as well, at Fox Sports 1420 AM
at @the_cobra66, at David Tewksbury for yours truly. And, of course, our next guest joined us on the phone line. He can also follow him on social media there as well, at Mone24Jackson. Jackson Mone, thanks for being a part of the program today, sir. We appreciate it. How are you?
No, thank you. How are you doing?
We're living the dream over here. We've got no complaints. Looks like the Aberdeen bubble has held strong with some severe weather. Are you out up in Fargo now, Jackson? Are you out west or down south? Where are you at right now?
I am. I got back a couple days ago, so I'm actually in Fargo right now.
Gotcha. So maybe some weather at some point in time that you guys are going to have to perhaps deal with later on this morning or afternoon, but that's just it. You've been kind of all over the place. We had Nathan Ganelli on the program yesterday. He was saying, oh, we're like the Johnny Cash of Legion baseball. You're kind of like the Johnny Cash of basketball. You've been everywhere. What's your summer kind of looked like and the last couple months for you? I'm sure quite the whirlwind.
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty crazy. I've had, attended that elite camp in Chicago and then had a couple workouts with a couple teams and then finally got to summer league. So, I mean, I'm just blessed to be in this, be in that position essentially and kind of experience that opportunity.
And how did that kind of summer league opportunity come about? You said you kind of worked out with some teams. How did that process work for you?
Yeah, so, I mean, a couple of teams had reached out to my agent and, I mean, he kind of decided that he thought that would be the best possible fit for me. So, I mean, just being there definitely learned a lot of new things that I wasn't accustomed to, met some great people, and ultimately just can't complain about my experience.
Well, that's going to be my next question is the agent sort of thing. I mean, what's that process even looking like? Is that something that maybe your coaches at college tell you about, or is it just something, hey, it's just understood, once I graduate, I got to hire an agent? How do you go about that process?
I mean, it's kind of a mix of everything. I feel like, especially in today's generation with NIL, there's a lot of college athletes who opt to get an agent. But I thought for me, just waiting until I thought the opportunity was right. And then ultimately, as I really just figured out end of the year, I'm hearing a couple of different things from a couple of different people that just getting an agent would be my best situation, essentially, and ultimately decided to get one after the season.
I mean, you get an opportunity being in the summer league, Jackson. My guess is you're just trying to make most of every opportunity you get, right?
No, for sure. I mean, kind of like I mentioned before, I mean, just learning a lot of new things, meeting a lot of great people. Was fortunate enough to meet Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, just across the facility in San Antonio. So just like opportunities like that, I mean, can't really take that for granted, and ultimately I'm just blessed.
Jackson Mone joining us here, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Starstruck, or was it just like, hey, you know, they're great athletes just like I am? What was that moment like for you?
Honestly, just a little bit of both. I mean, you kind of just grow up seeing these guys on television in the NBA Finals. And that's ultimately kind of where you just want to be in that position, hopefully fighting for a championship. So, I mean, again, it was just a little bit of both, but ultimately just blessed for that to have that experience.
Played North Dakota State there last year, obviously Northern here before, and you had a really nice year last year, almost 21 points a game, 6 rebounds. You shot close to 51% from the floor. I mean, that's a big-time season there this past winter. What do you think really went well for you? And, you know, it just seemed like your confidence offensively was there all season long.
Yeah, I mean, I credit to both my coaches and teammates to kind of just help me, who put me in that position to be successful. I mean, making the jump to Division II to Division I definitely isn't easy. And, I mean, without them, I don't think it'd be possible. But, I mean, just for me, I think it was just a confidence thing, just really trusting my abilities on the offensive side of the basketball. And, yeah, that's kind of where that's stemmed from.
Yeah, we ran into each other up there in Jamestown. I think that was early to mid-November of last year, and I asked you about how things were going, and you said it's coming along. You're feeling more comfortable and confident, and the team's gelling more. And obviously you went on an absolute tear for basically the entire season, you know, right after you kind of got your feet underneath you and more confident. What do you think changes happened for you last year? Was it just once you feel confident you're as good as you turned out to be this last year? I mean, you mentioned the change from D2 to D1.
I guess what are some of the big changes with that going forward in that sort of realm?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the NSIC is a great conference in Division II. I'd honestly say it's probably the top conference in Division II. But I would say just the biggest differences that I noticed was just the speed and strength aspect of the guys and then just the faster pace of the game. But I think for us as a team, I mean, we had a lot of new guys come in, a lot of transfers, so it just takes time for us to kind of build chemistry. And I thought that we had did that throughout the year and ultimately just had a great year.
Did you kind of notice a change from the D1 game to the summer league style of play? You know, they talk a lot about NBA basketball. It's more spread out. Guys are trying, you know, it's more outside in my opinion, than maybe inside out. What's your kind of thoughts on that? What was the biggest change, I guess, from D1 to the summer league?
Yeah, I mean, kind of a lot of the same stuff that I mentioned before, just more like the speed and strength aspect. I mean, guys are a lot more athletic. And I would just say kind of like the style of play is different. But also for us, I mean, at NDSU, we kind of ran more of like an NBA-style offense where everybody's more spread on the three-point line. There's not a lot of posting up. I mean, we'll post up a little bit. But I think what helped me a lot was just the style of offense at NDSU where it's more analytical, where guys – especially in the NBA, they want to take three-pointers and layups, kind of eliminate the mid-range shot. But, yeah, I would definitely say that those were the two or a couple major differences that I noticed.
NDSU and Northern State great Jackson Mone joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5. Draft night, obviously your name not called, but you still have opportunities to play there in the summer league. What was your draft night experience looking like? Did you have a get-together, a small party or something like that, or was it just basically you're kind of hanging out a little bit, trying to keep composed? And obviously it's disappointing you don't hear your name called, but there's some great NBA players that went undrafted that are Hall of Fame players. So is it difficult to keep things into perspective with that, to say, okay, well, just because I wasn't drafted doesn't mean my career is over here?
Yeah, I mean, I was home with friends and family just kind of watching it. But I think for me, I wasn't really too focused on the draft. I know that everything happens for a reason, and I feel like that's kind of been the story of my life, especially with college basketball. So, I mean, just having that mindset, positive mindset that everything's going to be all right. And, I mean, ultimately having that opportunity to go to the summer league, I mean, not a lot of guys, especially from North Dakota, get that mm-hmm. opportunity. So, I mean, I think just overlooking it with positive mindset is kind of is really just how I was approaching the whole process.
Were you kind of trying to live in the moment per se, not look too far ahead when you were out there in the summer league, would you say, just because, like you just mentioned, you know, not a lot of kids from North Dakota get that opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just me just staying in the moment. I feel like that's helped me across my collegiate career. I think just for me, basically, just more of understanding the game, understanding the new style of game, to say. Obviously, the NBA is quite different from college, so just understanding the little rules, kind of little tactics that the NBA has to offer, I think, is what my main focus was on.
So what's a summer league practice look like? I mean, sometimes you see, if you watch the late local news, you see it basically is just one big glorified shoot around. Is that true, or what's a summer league practice going to look like?
I mean, to a certain extent, it is. I would say that NBA practices are definitely easier than college practices. But, I mean, it's definitely a lot easier, but I wouldn't say it's a glorified shoot around. I mean, they're really tactical on what they want to do and what they want to work on. Mm-hmm. So practices aren't usually that long. So when we are on the court, we go pretty hard for that time. But, I mean, I definitely do enjoy NBA practices more than college practices, for sure.
No doubt.
Is it difficult to kind of gain chemistry with some of the teammates? You know, it's like, hey, here we are. It's game time. You kind of mentioned the practice, and it's not like it is in college. Is it difficult to kind of get that chemistry going?
I mean, I would say at first, definitely, yeah. I mean, we were fortunate enough to have, like, a training camp before we were at the California Classic. So just really talking with the guys, kind of understanding how they play. And I mean, to answer your question, it's not terribly hard, but it also, I mean, I feel like with chemistry, it just takes some time.
Jackson Mone here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A couple more as he joins us up there from the Fargo area. So you got opportunities to play. I think it was the first game, dropped 8 points on 3 of 4 shooting, 2 out of 3 from downtown. I was kind of following box scores and what have you, and I was like, okay, well, he's getting some opportunities to play. There were some times you did not get a chance to play. You're on the bench there a little bit. How frustrating is that? Because it feels like as soon as you get your opportunities to play, you've made the most of them. You've done some great things, but, you know, summer league it's just kind of different, I guess. Maybe they're just trying to get good looks at certain players. Are they trying? Obviously, you'd like to win, but, you know, you didn't get a chance to play as much as I'm sure as you would have liked. What's kind of the coach's mindset, if you have any sort of 2 cents on that? Because when you played very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I can't speak for the coach, but I mean, I can definitely speak for myself. And I felt like I was just honestly blessed to have that opportunity. I wasn't really frustrated with that. I mean, kind of like I mentioned before, not a lot of kids from North Dakota really get the opportunity to step on the court of that magnitude in Vegas. So, I mean, just continuing to have a positive mindset about everything is just how I live life, and that's kind of how I approached the summer league.
So what's next? Do you kind of get an invite to training camp or things of that, or do you have some time off before the next thing? How's that all work?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll have a little time off. I'm still trying to figure out the best opportunity for both myself and my family that puts us in the best position. So, I mean, for me, just continuing to talk with my agent every day and kind of figuring that out is the process that we're looking into right now.
Little inside joke here. I think you know this. You were up in Fargo last year. Any more white shirts for Christmas that you got the year before? I mean, when you were at Northern, it was all the white shirts there for a shoot around. Did you get any more white shirts for Christmas last year?
I did. I did get a fresh pack of white t-shirts. Speaking about that, I need to go get another pack right now. But I mean, I do love my white t-shirts. You definitely know that. So
yeah.
Did it make you on a warm up?
No. No, I unfortunately wasn't able to wear those for warm-ups, but I wish.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. Well, continued success there, Jackson. We're going to continue to follow your story, whether that's in the league or somewhere else or whatever it is. We're rooting for you there, certainly, and wish you and the family there nothing but the best.
Perfect. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. As always, that's Jackson Mone here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Great athlete, and I hope that he gets another opportunity to play, because I was looking at those box scores, and you go off for 8 points, and I think it was about 8 minutes of play, mm-hmm. Played good defense. All right, that means more opportunities, and not necessarily the case. It's one of those things, I guess.
Yeah, and like you mentioned earlier, he might have not been necessarily on their radar as much because of other draft picks that maybe they picked in the draft or other undrafted free agents. It's just kind of weird how that all rolls. You know, just because you play well doesn't mean you get the next opportunity. It's just kind of how professional sports work. I mean, you see it in the NFL all the time.
Oh, sure.
They follow those guys on Hard Knocks that are undrafted free agents, and you think, hey, they're playing well, and next thing you know, they get cut. You know, it's just how it is. So I think Mone's got an opportunity. He's got the size, he's got the game, he's got the outside game that you need as a big at this level. I mean, he's a forward, and you know, he mentioned it, you don't see a lot of guys in the NBA playing with their back against the basket. You just don't. And if you can stretch the floor, which he can, he might get another opportunity, and I'm looking forward to seeing it, what that opportunity is, because like you said, just because you go undrafted doesn't mean you can't be a player in the league. We see it all the time.
Ben Wallace, Udonis Haslam, Bruce Bowen, John Starks, the great John Starks, Fred Van Vliet, Alex Caruso, gotta throw my guy Wesley Matthews in there too, Marquette guy, Rajah Bell was very, very good, Jeremy Lin, some really, really great players. And I mean, Lin Sanity. But don't forget about Naz Reid.
And it just, yeah, Naz Reid's a great example. And he might get bounced around a couple teams before he finds the right fit. That's just how it is. He could be going to different teams, like, hey, I might get invited to this team's training camp or the next. He might bounce around. It's all about fit as well, as weird as that sounds. It's just like you can't just roll on any random team and be like, here we are, and see what happens. So maybe the fit might have something to do if he gets the next opportunity.
Well, we're rooting for him. We're following his career for sure. Coming up next, we're talking a little volleyball action. Nora Groft, she'll be joining us on the phone line after this. Sports Hubbing It Up on a Hub Day installment of the show on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420, 98.5, and online at hubcityradio.com. And the great Nora Groft is joining us, taking some time out of her busy schedule and taking this Wednesday to chat with us, folk. And, Coach, appreciate you doing this. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure, for sure. And Matt and I were talking off the air. This is going to be year number 24, if memory serves correctly, for you as a head coach over there at Northwestern. And I said, I think it's 13 or 14 championships, state championships. Is that the right number, or is it there or around there?
Oh, well, it's 12, but well, I like your enthusiasm and your optimism there. So,
see, I'm just penciling it in for you already here in 25.
Yeah, I'm sure nobody else will have anything to say about that.
I know. I'm good at making enemies. It's all good. No, but you've had a very, very incredible run for sure, and looking forward to this season for sure. And it's really not that far off. How have you enjoyed your summer? I'm sure probably doing a lot of Matchbox stuff and what have you. What's your summer months kind of looked like?
Yeah, we've had a great summer. You know, I mean, we had a really generous member of our community donate a bunch of money so we could get all new weight room equipment. So our kids have been in the weight room 3 days a week this summer. We're really excited about that. Putting some time in, trying to get stronger, jump higher, that kind of thing. And, you know, we just have really spent a lot of time just in the gym, working on some skills, not going to a lot of things, but, you know, that's the time I enjoy the most, is just being at home at the gym and spending time with the kids. That's where we get better.
Coach, is there such thing as like AAU volleyball during the summer like we see with basketball?
Well, typically the club volleyball is kind of just that spring season. I think our kids that played club this year finished like that second week of May. So most of them aren't doing that. We do have several kids playing AAU basketball this summer, so that's a great opportunity for them.
Does it feel like you've kind of kept things a little bit more in-house, per se, this summer? Because like you said, you're working on the weight room, you're in there working on running faster, yep, and jumping higher. Is this kind of a change of pace for you guys this summer?
Well, you know, our kids are busy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, volleyball is just a small part of all the things they do. Our school offers a lot of extracurricular activities and clubs and stuff in the summer. I mean, our social studies teacher took them to Washington, D.C. You know, they went to National FBLA. You know, the music teacher, they went to Europe. I mean, our kids are involved in a lot of things. And so I think it's nice that when they're not off on one of those trips, that they can just come to school and get their touches in, get their workouts in. We can do some of that here, and it doesn't cost anything.
For sure. And it sounds like the numbers are pretty good at those summer workouts then. Is that fair to say?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we have a really good leadership group right now. We're finally old. You know, felt like the last couple of years I'm playing a lot of 8th and 9th graders, and those kids are now juniors and seniors. So like we've got 15 juniors and seniors out for volleyball. So they've been really good leaders in the weight room and stuff.
Nora Groff joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, you guys had a disappointing year. You only won 21 matches, ha, 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 or something like that. You guys were very, very young, but very, very, very solid. Now the fact that those gals are juniors and seniors, does that give you maybe not expectations, but just reason for, I guess, more optimism around the program?
Well, I think there are expectations for our girls every year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, whether we make the state tournament or not, I think they're high expectations. They were 30-6 last year. I mean, that's certainly not disappointing.
No.
So, you know, we've come a long way, and I'm excited to see them have that confidence of being out on the varsity floor, not being a meeker, younger kid.
Now, you've been coaching a long time, and you mentioned that these girls have been playing since 8th and 9th grade, and now they're juniors and seniors. My guess is that's happened more than just once since you've been there at Northwestern. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, our young girls get thrown in it pretty early in all their sports. Like our eighth graders this year are a good bunch, and they, you know, just played middle school for me last year, but they, you know, ran at the state cross country meet. They broke records at track and ran at the state track meet. They played on the varsity basketball team. Like, you know, they've got a wealth of experience coming in, and hopefully we'll be able to use some of that with them this year as well. But, you know, in a small school, if you're good enough to play, you're going to play.
Nora Groft here, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420, 98.5. You know, that's one thing that we don't deal with where we come from. He's from Pennsylvania. I'm from Illinois. If you are a seventh or eighth grader, you're not playing on the varsity team. How cool is that, that here in South Dakota you have that opportunity to kind of get these kids some varsity experience when they are so young, and by the time they're juniors and seniors, they should be really, really good players.
Well, for sure. And I mean, and that goes for, you know, for all athletics.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would be a crime for Ella Buckelhide not to be a state champion when she's in middle school. Mm-hmm. You know, to take that away from her and have her run the middle school races. I mean, I think that's just ridiculous. So why wouldn't you give those kids that opportunity to get better and to shine where they really excel?
And, you know, when you have some success early, right, Coach, when you're, you know, younger, it just can continue to help the program move forward. And you, Tukes mentioned it, but you know, there is expectations every year when you have success early on, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and you know, one of the things I like about volleyball is, you know, it helps to be the more athletic team, but where you really gain your edge is having the higher volleyball IQ. And, you know, now finally having those kids that are juniors and seniors, you know, Ashley Haven's volleyball IQ is off the charts. So, you know, we're going to reap the benefits of that, and that's going to really help us this year.
Can you talk a little bit deeper about the volleyball IQ? What exactly does that entail? Is it just attacking different parts of the floor? What is it?
Well, and you know, being responsible, taking care of the ball, you know, you don't have to swing for the fence on every ball. You know, maybe you could just get the ball to their setter and get them out of system so we get an easier ball back, you know, and it's effectively utilizing the serving strategy, just being smart with the ball, you know, for out of system. Okay, who takes that ball and where does that ball go? And then where does that hitter hit it? Like our kids really now that they practice this a lot, understand what the strategy is, and they're just a little bit more mindful and understand that, you know, it is about part of hitting a shot, not necessarily trying to wow the crowd with power.
That's something I struggled with when I played back in the day. I'm kind of just joking to myself or laughing to myself because that's just it. You know, do I hit a cut shot here? Do I just kind of push it to the back row? What have you? I always just tried to hit it as hard as I possibly could. So the volleyball IQ for yours truly back in the day, not necessarily triple digits, but that's neither here nor there. Nora Groft here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, head coach of the Northwestern volleyball program. You graduate four seniors from last year. Are some of those gals playing at the next level, be it NAIA or maybe Division III or Division II, maybe D1, who knows? And what does this new kind of slew of juniors and seniors look like this year for you guys? And we kind of talked about that a little bit already, but who do you anticipate is going to be kind of maybe a vocal leader for your squad this upcoming year?
Well, Anna Radigan graduated, and she's playing basketball at DWU, and so we're excited for her. She's a good three-sport athlete for us. And this year, our juniors and seniors, I mean, we're just so deep at every position. You know, that's one of the things that makes it hard when you have so many older kids and who are kind of at the same level. You know, you can only play six at a time, and only six kids get to serve. And I think, you know, those competitive practices and those competitive opportunities make us better. But going along with that, you know, we still have to try a bunch of different lineups and figure out what the magic formula is going to be. And, you know, it's all still a learning curve for me as a coach of what the puzzle is going to look like. We got all the pieces, but where that all sprinkles in, I think, is kind of the fun part.
Coach, I was doing the math. I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but I think I got you down for 695 wins at your career there. So you're nearing number 700, and you're most likely going to get it this upcoming fall. I mean, that's pretty special. Obviously, Hall of Famer, those kinds of things. I saw that in 2023. So 700 wins for you as a coach, getting closer to that. I mean, that's pretty cool.
I've been here a long time, you know. You know, this will actually be year 30 for me in the volleyball program. I was Kathy Graves' assistant coach for 6 years, and so I had a lot of time to learn from her before I took over. And, you know, my job is kind of to keep the factory going, and I do the best I can, but it's really the kids who do all the work. And those are their wins more so than mine.
Well, we'll give them to you anyway. Nevertheless, we'll certainly give them to you. It's a cool accolade, and I know most coaches feel uncomfortable talking about that sort of resume, but it is incredibly quite the blessing for sure, like you mentioned there, with a lot of people being included in those. How have the athletes changed over the last, like you say, 30 years? I'm sure the athletes back in the early 90s are a little bit different than the athletes here in 2025, or not so much?
No, I think kids are kids. Kids are kind of the same. You know, I think society's changed a little bit. Parents have changed a little bit. Technology has brought some different aspects to what we do and how we do things. But, you know, kids are just kids. And, you know, there's nothing more fun than being in the gym with teenage girls or riding in the bus with them, listening to them talk or sing or whatever they're doing. You know, they're just high energy, and they're just fun to be around.
Do you think the weight training is more, I guess, different now than it was back then, or the training in the off season is a little bit different, or not so much?
I wouldn't say so. I think the big change just for us is our kids used to have to, you know, go up to the Y.
Oh, sure.
And work with a personal trainer or go to Acceleration, and, you know, they'd have to go to Aberdeen and outsource that stuff. And now we actually have the ability to do that in our own facility. And that to me is a game changer, because it makes it more accessible for more kids. But we've always had kids that were working out, going to camps, doing those sorts of things.
Maybe one or two more before we get you out of here. And again, thanks for taking some time and joining us. And certainly we're looking forward to seeing how the program does here in, let's see, a little north of a month. Looks like the first match on the 26th against Aberdeen-Roncalli. That was a pretty competitive one last year and has been for the last couple of years. We know that you're going to be there. We know Warner's going to be there. How many other teams within the region do you think have pretty salty teams coming in this August and this autumn?
Well, I think a lot of teams in our area are going to be good. You know, Aberdeen Christian has a great coach in Sally Gall. You know, she's got those kids doing really good things. You know, a player from Northern, I think that helps. You know, Hitchcock Jeweler has experience at the state tournament, and those kids want to go back. You know, even you mentioned Roncalli, they have a ton of young athletes right now. Jillian L. transferred there. So, I mean, they're going to be ready to go out of the gate on August 26th. So, you know, statewide, obviously Chester is going to be a top dog. Their setter is just out of this world. I think she was MVP at USAV Nationals this summer. So, you know, those are pretty great accolades for a Class B kid.
Well, it's going to be a very, very competitive season. It always is. And looking forward to seeing you guys down south there in Mallette. And like you mentioned, first matchup there of the season on the 26th against the Cavaliers of Aberdeen-Roncalli. Coach, continued success. We'll talk to you later on down the road. And again, thanks for doing this.
Hey, I appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
All right, you do the same. Thanks so much. Nora Groft, head coach of the volleyball squad there at Northwestern, the great Nora Groft. And I tell you what, it's going to be a very, very salty Class B. It always is. And a lot of regional teams. That's one thing that's kind of cool about us here in northeastern South Dakota, is it's all kind of around that, I'd say, 50-60-mile radius of Aberdeen. It's really, really good.
It really is. She mentioned some of those teams, Hitchcock, Tulare, Aberdeen Christian, Sally Gall. You know, she said that. I was like, well, that's right, you know. So I think there's just a lot of talent around this area, and probably a 60-mile radius. There's a lot of talented teams out there, and you got to be ready to go every night. It kind of reminds me, just looking at the schedule, it's very similar to a sense of like a basketball schedule. You got a ton of matches. I mean, it's maybe not as much. You don't play as many games, but you're constantly you got to almost take it match at a time with the volleyball schedule, just because you got an array of matches. And mean, 30-6 last year, and they didn't make the state tournament. That's incredible. I think it's got to come in the offseason. That's got to be in the back of your head, right? Like, how can we get there and get to the state tournament with the experience and the wins that this team has had in the last couple years with this group? I mean, they want to get to a state tournament. That's the goal, I think, for this type of team.
I don't think there's any question. Anytime you put on the green and gold or the blue and white, talking about Northwestern and Warner, there is pressure with that as it pertains to making it to the state tournament. Because when you play for Coach Jung or when you play for Coach Groft, there is expectation of greatness. And, again, we're talking 14 to 17, maybe 18-year-old girls. Or boys, for that matter. We're still talking high school athletics here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot to deal with sometimes. And the fact that these teams and these coaches, they seem to always reach that level is
crazy.
Is wild to me. And you mentioned 695 wins. Coaches always get very, very uncomfortable talking about the individual accolade because obviously it's not an individual accolade. But the one constant is that coach. So she's a great coach. Coach Jung's a great coach. We are so blessed here in northeastern South Dakota with these great high school coaches, in volleyball in particular, and looking forward to seeing what they've got here in the not-too-distant future. We'll wrap up the Hub after this. It's the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to Jackson Mone and Nora Groft both for taking some time out of their busy schedules and joining us here on FSA. The Aberdeen Smitties, they return to the Diamond tonight, taking on Brandon Valley Post 131. Game 1 of 3 tonight, 7 o'clock. That'll be over on our website, hubcityradio.com. Check out the Region 1B and 6B schedules from yesterday and going forward there as well on our website, hubcityradio.com. Junior championship scoreboard there on our website, too. But big one, like you mentioned yesterday, Cobra, against that Brandon Valley squad. Can you steal game one if you can? You're in the catbird seat.
Yeah, you really are. Can you get this one tonight? Going to have to win, tight ball game. I think if the Smitties win, it's going to have to be like 5-4, 6-5, 8-7, that kind of score. Going to have to be good with guys on base. I've been talking about that all week. Have to move guys over, have to get runs with runners in scoring position, and you need a good outing from the starting pitcher. Let's see if they can do it here tonight.
First pitch, 7 o'clock, presented by Culver's of Aberdeen. We're back at it tomorrow.